When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A warm welcome to the first December edition of Big Fight Weekly. This is episode 41 of the show with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host and cousin, Chris Hume. How are we this week, Chris? How are things?
Not too bad, you know, mate. Not too bad, you know. Right up to Christmas, isn't it? So it's all hands on deck. But yeah, it's been all right.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to get into the boxing first and foremost. A bit of a... not a shock result, but I'd say the underdog came through as George Kambosos Jr., defeats Teofimo Lopez for one less of all the gold, because obviously Devin Haney is WBC lightweight champion at the moment. But George Kambosos Jr. is now WBO, WBA and IBF title holder and the Ring Magazine holder as well. And what a fantastic performance. What a fantastic fight, Chris. I think it was typified with that early overhand right in the first round. That set the tone for Kambosos Jr. And I think more latterly, I felt Lopez was getting more success from round eight onwards. The scorecards though, Chris, it was a split decision victory for George Kambosos Jr. at the Hulu Theatre at Madison Square Garden, 115-111, 115-113, and then one judge had Lopez at 114-113. I'm more likely to go for 115-113 off the basis of the fight, Chris. I think he just edged it with those rounds early on, and you know, that 10-8 round. Because he caught him. To be fair to Lopez, though, he got straight back up, didn't he? He still had the wherewithal, didn't he, Chris?
Yeah, Lopez, though, you know what I mean? When you look at the whole that fight as a whole, he was really slow, wasn't he? I know he went like two rounds at the beginning and then George sort of took over, didn't he? And then you look at like rounds 10, 11 and 12 and Lopez sort of took over the fight then, didn't he? He dropped Kambosos himself, didn't he? But to be fair, the heart and determination between both fighters was phenomenal. I just rewatched the fight before we went live today, you know, just to get a refresher and, you know, a bit more of a clearer head and watching it this time round. And, yeah, it was such an entertaining fight. You could see that, you know, they both wanted it. Obviously, I thought Lopez looked quite irritated at the beginning, you know, when he got dropped and he got pulled in the corner and you could see like he was talking, smiling. But you know, that sort of smile is a bit of like, it's a frustration, isn't it? I've just been dropped. And yeah, it was an absolutely barn burner of a fight. Loved it. I really enjoyed watching it.
Unbelievable. I think, yeah, he wilted a little bit when he got knocked down there, just to reiterate what you were saying. Absolutely. That really did set the tone then. And yeah, I had Kambosos Jr. two rounds up by the end of it, but that 10-8 early on, that was a huge confidence booster for him. And also power punches alone, Kambosos Jr. 155 to Lopez's 115. But Kambosos Jr., if you looked, he was counter striking a lot more. Mm-hmm. He kind of allowed Lopez to have a go, didn't he?
Yeah, it was quite, you know, when you talk about these sort of fights, like he's fighting in a phone booth, and they were, but it was quite chaotic, wasn't it? Because when they got into that sort of area where they were both toe to toe, it was quite wild. The striking between the pair of them, yeah, and you know, a lot did miss, and majority of it did connect. But you know, when they did connect with each other, as you saw the cuts and the bruises to each other, you know, after the fight, you know, they both put everything on the line. Obviously, I've watched Lopez before because we've covered Lopez before, but I haven't watched Kambosos before, so I really enjoyed his footwork and how light he is on his feet, and he's bouncing on the, you know, on his tiptoes and his movement. Even after getting dropped in round 10, he got dropped.
It was round 10, yeah.
And when he got dropped, he looked like he was struggling. But you know, as soon as he got back up, it was like an elastic band, Stuart. It was just bouncing on his feet and the movement. But I'd agree with the counter striking. I think that Lopez, you know, if you look at those rounds he did lose early on, he was frustrated. I think that Kambosos was really frustrating him. And I think he could see it was getting to him. And he was very wild, you know, in those, we say, 3, 4, 5 and 6, 7. He was quite wild. He settled down towards the end and he started connecting with George Den. And I think that gave him more confidence, you know, as you saw towards the end of the fight, which you think Lopez won the end, the last three rounds.
Easily. I think you can see Kambosos Jr., I would say Lopez was less tired as well. I agree. Yeah. I agree that you could see him surging forward a bit more. But yeah, as you say, both of them going at it. What a fight! You know, mm-hmm. a great advert for the lightweight division, Chris. But there's no question. Definitely. You know, as we spoke about last week, Devin Haney in action on the fourth this weekend. He's defending the WBC belt. You know, historically the WBC belt is the one across all mm-hmm. divisions. So further down the line, you know, if we don't get a rematch, but I do think there will be a rematch, you know, Devin Haney, he should get past Joseph Diaz on Saturday, Sunday. Lomachenko as well, we know he's fighting soon as well. Yeah. And then we've got Gervonta Tank Davis, the protege of Floyd Mayweather, willing to come in there and have a go. So that division, there's so many matches at lightweight. It's going to be amazing the next year, 18 months, what fights get made. And I think with Kambosos Jr., Chris, as well, he said, let's do the rematch, me and Lopez, in Australia. We can get 80,000 into a stadium.
I've heard Lopez has turned that down, though, shit. This was what I read after the fight on Sunday morning, that he didn't want a rematch in Australia. Which, you know, we're watching UFC in Australia. There's some big, big stadiums in that country.
It'd be the Etihad. You know how passionate they're about their combat sports over there, Chris, because we've seen We've seen it with the Aussies and the New Zealand fighters, you know, in UFC especially, haven't we? You know, they've almost got the British grittiness. I always find there's like a British grit. But yeah, Chris, are you going to pull the video up or have we got some comments first?
We've got three comments, actually.
Lovely. Hello, Ramel. What's up, guys? Hello, mate. Hope you're well in the Philippines, leading up to Christmas now.
Also, Ramel, I want to know what your thoughts on the boxing fight as well.
I thought you were going to pull that up because I thought it was going to be the next one. Hello, lads. Isaac, he's in the gym in Norwich there. Now, he said, send me the link. So, yeah, good to see you. Hope you're training hard and you've got us on in the earphones. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hope you're not watching the Newcastle game after last night.
He's not a massive football fan, to be fair to him. All right, Lewis. How are you, mate? Saw you at the wrestling over the weekend. And Lewis, what are your thoughts on the fight as well? And then we're going to be talking UFC after as well. So if you've got any thoughts.
I saw Lewis doing a live on Facebook the other day and he had a bit of Dragon Ball Z going on. Quite interested, that, mate.
Get the old Dragon Ball.
All right.
So, yes. No, thank you for your comments early on there, guys. We're a bit earlier with it being 1 o'clock here in the UK. But, yeah, Chris is now going to fire up the footage because, as you can see, all the titles for George Kambosos Jr. now, bar one, should I say, but he has unified to a certain extent. And this one is courtesy of Fight Hub TV.
All right. Real quick, I know you got to go, but, I mean, this was an amazing, amazing upset. I know you believed in yourself. How big was that first round knockdown?
Look, I went off the great Customato when Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier. And Muhammad Ali rang him up and said, what do I do against this guy? This punching machine has been knocking everyone out. Just hit him with your best right hand in the first round. Hurt him. I put him on his ass on Wednesday. From that, totally changed the fight straight away. He was hesitant. Look, I'm going to throw it. No, step back. Look, I'm going to throw it. Step back. Boom. Land the uppercut. Land the right hook again. Ripped to the body. Land the jab. So it was very smart. We boxed very smart, and you know what I showed? Again, my boxing skills. People think I can't box.
In the 10th round, you know, that was a big knockdown in round 10. Last one. In the 10th round, that was a big knockdown. How did you survive that? And not only survive it, but win the next two rounds?
Yeah, not for me. It wasn't a big knockdown. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been in there with killers, you know. I've been saying it, welterweights, light welterweights. I sparred 23 rounds with Manny Pacquiao. I mean, so, to be honest, I said it. I want to feel the power. I want to see what it's about. Yeah, he caught me with a good shot, all right. But I was back and I thought, you know what, I'm going to destroy this guy for the next two rounds. I'm going to punish him for what he's just done to me. That was my first time ever on the ground. But I show what a true champion is, to come back and win the fight like that and close it in great fashion.
George, you've been training for this for a year.
Enjoy.
Got to be fair to him, you know, the amount of crap that Lopez had talked beforehand that came back to bite him on the arse. And yeah, as he said, guys he's sparring with, Pacquiao even came out and said how good Kambosos Jr. can be. You know, he's done the sparring with him. So, yeah, I think it's great. It's great for him. The hot potato with the titles, though, eh, Chris? You know, him dethroning Lomachenko. A lot of people thinking, you know, he's literally in his backyard, Lopez, being from Brooklyn, being an MSG. Mm-hmm. But the crowd turned on him after he said, you know, I've won that fight. And his own home like area crowd, I think they've gone on board with Kambosos Jr. than the home fighter.
So I think you find that not to slate the Americans, like, but I find them such interesting as a fan base when they're live. You know, as Brits, we follow our own, don't we? Where they're so, I don't that back and forwards with who they follow, which is great, and it's interesting, like, to see it which way they sway. But you know, you imagine, like, you know, one of our guys and they say something bad. I don't even think they'd get a boo. I think they would be still sort of cheered by the British fans. I find American fans interesting in the way they support, like, certain fighters from different countries, not necessarily their own, where, like I say, in the UK, we are very much our own.
You know, regardless of the result with the UK fighters as well, you know, we really do stick with them, don't we? You know, win, lose or draw, if they put on a good performance. Yeah, I just thought it was a bit fickle from the crowd. But then again, if he's turning around and saying he's won when he hasn't won, but it was close. But, you know,
he's got to be right to say that, though, yeah.
He did. It depends what you're watching, doesn't it? Again, but how many times? We've said this countless times in 40, 41 episodes now. You know, what one judge did see it as him a rounder. You know, he was constantly coming, wasn't he? But just one of them, Chris. I think moving on. Oh, no, here we go. Last Sunday's fights were awesome. Lopez got caught big time by unknown world beater. It was a great match. Really good, but not close to call. Yeah, Ramel, you know, that's fine. That's your opinion. How much you like your boxing here, MMA. Yeah, it was tight. I like Chris said, I think it was tight, in all fairness. Got any more comments, Chris, before we move on to Font and Aldo? Right, we're gonna go into UFC now. Obviously, we've got Fight Night on ESPN. It is Font versus Aldo, Chris. Huge fight at bantamweight. Font is the -145 favourite. That's from DraftKings, Chris. And then Jose Aldo, the former, one of the pound-for-pound best, former pound-for-pound best, at +125. So it's quite tight. I'm sure that will change as we get into Saturday, Sunday. But yeah, Rob Font on a four-fight win streak, Chris. Beating Pettis, Simon, Moraes, Garbrandt as well, Chris. And then Aldo on a two-fight win streak, beating Vera and Munoz. So are the bookies right to have Font as favourite in your mind? I know you're going to have a lot to say on this one.
I'd say so, because, I mean, the last two fights he's had, Kobe Garbrandt, I know Kobe Garbrandt, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, he's dropped down a weight now. But Cody Garbrandt's a former champion. Marlon Moraes has been, you know, a former title challenger, but he's also been a champion in World Series of Fighting when that was around. Obviously, it's changed names now. You got to give Font the sort of the bookies' favourite, just because of, you know, he's been on a four-fight win streak. You know, his only losses in the last couple of years of Rafael Sun Xiao, who, you know, before his injury was really good and was very close to a title shot before he got injured many years ago. And he's a funny one, Stuart. His fight after it, before he lost to Rafael Sun Xiao, was Pedro Munoz, who, funny enough, two fights ago, Aldo beat. So it's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, they both fought the same guy. One's beaten him and one's lost to him. And he lost by a guillotine. But this was way back in 2017. But I think Font's got the narrative because of who he's beaten, but he hasn't lost for so long and he's got that momentum. And, you know, you look at the shots he took against Kobe Garbrandt and you know how hard Kobe Garbrandt hits. And he took them. And I know that I definitely say that, you know, Cody Garbrandt's very chinny. He hasn't got the best chin in the world. But, you know, I think Rob Font's just more game, and I think he's learned so much, and he's, you know, these sort of the win streak he's on. And don't forget, he beat Sergio Pettis, who's now in Bellator, who is now, I think, currently out, or he's either the champion in their division in Bellator, or he's number one contender. So you've got to look at things like that. He's beaten some really good fighters. I'm not saying Aldo hasn't, because Aldo's been in there with everybody, you know, from featherweight to bantamweight. But, you know, you can't ever count Aldo out, because Aldo, you know, he's 30, I think he's the same age as us, isn't he? I think he's 35. he still keeps coming. This isn't the fight I probably would have put Aldo in. I generally still would say I wanted to see him. We said this after Aldo's last win. I wanted to see him against Dominic Cruz. I would have loved that fight because I think everyone wanted to see that from WEC days. You know what I mean? Because they were both one for several. One was Bantam then. But I think that obviously Font's got the momentum going forward here, because I think if Font wins this, I think he's the next the challenge to title.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's tight on the bookies. You know, you can't discredit Jose Aldo, what he's done. But as you said, when he was in the ascendancy a long, long time ago, it was a long, long time ago, wasn't it, Chris? Yeah, he was heralded, wasn't he? Nobody could beat him. I know there was a few close fights in there through the course of his title run. But yeah, in more current times, I'd be leaning towards Rob Font from what I have seen.
Do you ever think this was a bit of a weird one where Aldo went? Because everyone thought Aldo was going to go to lightweight, didn't they? You know, after the whole Conor McGregor thing, and, you know, he got the title back, didn't he? Then he lost to Max Holloway, which is, there is no, you know, no bad feelings about that. And he lost to Volkanovski, which, again, is one of them. He's the best, at, you know, where he's at featherweight. I always thought Aldo was going to go up a division. So I was always found this a strange one that, you know, a guy that struggled to make 145 went down to 135 instead of going up to 155.
Would he have been too short at lightweight? It's going to be my thing. You know, he's quite for the. I know size. I know it's putting the weight on. He would have power. There's no question about it. You know, you only have to look at some of the guys. But yeah, he's short in stature, isn't he? Not that I'm discrediting him.
No.
Do you think 155 would have been a bit of a tall order for him? You know,
I think when he was like the king of featherweight,
he should have done it.
Yeah, maybe one or two, just to, you know, dip your toes in and have a go. You mean there's plenty of fights that, you know, UFC could have booked him with. You know, don't forget, like, you know, he had one of the most ferocious kicks in the game. And look at the things he did to people, just have leg kicks alone. You know, how fast his hands were. And if you're going up a weight, you would assume that the power would get better with putting the weight on. But obviously, he's chose to go down a weight, and he hasn't looked too bad. You know, he did face Petty Ann for the title when Henry Cejudo left, and, you know, he looked so good, so, you know, for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then, you know, what Petty Ann's like, he figures you out, and then boom, he destroys people. But yeah, it's an interesting fight. I think this is very dangerous for Aldo, but also very dangerous for Font, because you don't know if Aldo, you know, can sort of bring back the good old days, because you can't really, because he's a bit older now. But you never know, do you? I mean, Aldo could catch him. I'd like to see Aldo throw a bit more leg kicks as well, you know, going off the top of that. But I think Font's got the momentum. I think Font will probably win this by decision. I know my sort of pick and fights haven't been great for predictions wise the last couple of weeks. But I think Font's got this. I just think the momentum's with Font. And I just think Aldo's a good name to check off the list, you know, as he gets up for a title shot.
Absolutely. Here we go. Ramel, this is a very dangerous fight for Aldo. Font is a young stud. Also, Aldo is a legend and can still pull it off, but Font is good. Font's not that young, actually, if memory serves. 33? He's not far behind him. He's not far behind him, Ramel, you know, in terms of age.
I just think,
because he's been on the upward trajectory recent times.
I don't think he's had as many wars as Aldo's had. You know, when he's not been in that high-pressured sort of fights as Aldo has.
Tyler T, we're about to see a legend fall, Aldo. Right, okay. Isaac's going for Rob Font there, Chris.
I think it seems like Rom is going
Ramel was veering towards him, but he was giving that. He gave Aldo...
I think it's just the momentum, isn't it? You've got to look at who he's beaten last, haven't you?
Will we get a stoppage in this fight? That's what I want to ask, actually.
Well, it's an interesting one you say that, because they're both really good at standing up, and I think Rob Font's got better and better over his last couple of fights, you know what I mean? And really, you know, digged his heels in. Like against to say, against Marlon Moraes is really good. As well as Marlon Moraes is very good on the ground, he's got a decent stand-up. Did that with ease. Kobe Galbrandt, as we both know, he can hit hard, can knock people out. And he weathered the storm. He did get caught a few times towards the end against Kobe Galbrandt. But I think Rob Font's got this. And I just think it's the thing is, Stuart, again, you've got to look at who's going to be the champion after, you know, he wins this. Because he's going to have to wait for Aljo and Jan to sort of settle their differences. So he's going to have a bit of a wait here.
Can I ask you, what in terms of betting, what would you put your money on just before we move on?
And bet responsibly as well.
Yeah. We always say that.
I go Font. I just, as much okay. as I love Aldo and I love everything he's done for the sport.
Over the five.
I think over the five, yeah.
Okay.
I think a big decision. I think Aldo's still game. No matter how old he is and no matter wars he's been in, you don't often see Aldo get finished. Okay, Peter Yan did finish him, but Peter Yan's an elite fighter and probably one of the best boxers in the UFC. But you don't normally see Aldo get finished. I think this will probably go all five rounds.
We will be back for the co-main event in just a short while. It's a few more items down the list. And Chris, is there any comments before we move back to the boxing? And one
big story.
Oh, he's got something for us. Well, perfectly timed this, Lewis, because it's item number three with Brooke, obviously Kell Brook and Khan booked. Finally, I've been waiting for this for God knows how long, Chris. 8 years, I think I can remember. That it was like they were bantering and giving each other a lot. And there's always been animosity. You can really... You can tell it's not stage animosity between these two, but we finally got it. It's 5 to 8 years later than expected, and you know you've got to look at who they fought previously, which we'll look at in a bit. But yeah, I'm glad. And do you know what? For Boxer, which is one of the upstart companies nationally, internationally, I think Ben Shalom has done a good thing here putting these two together. People are saying box office, it's too late in the day and stuff like that. But yeah, it's got to be on box office. It's a domestic duster. And I'm trying to look at it. I'm trying to give it balance as to why, it has come to be now rather than when it should have been done many years ago. But yeah, Chris, what do you feel with this?
And Khan hasn't fought since, 2019? I think he's been on I'm a Celebrity since then, hasn't he?
Prior with that, yeah. So, yeah.
When did Kell Brook, I'm going to jump in quickly. So Kell Brook fought Crawford last, in his last fight. No means there, is there really? But I don't know. It's been, as you say, it's a bit late booking it. And Khan hasn't really fought for a very long time. I know, obviously, we'll get to the records in a minute when you want me to put it on. But I know they fought the who's who of the divisions. I don't know. Do you feel like this fight's going to deliver?
I think round welterweight, those divisions, I think Khan's fought the better guys, but Brook went right up to middleweight to fight Golovkin, and he did have relative success for three rounds. Okay, it was a bad eye injury, just got absolutely obliterated. It's similar. You can talk about this with Canelo. Golovkin's very similar. He'll let these fighters come on him a bit, suss it out, and then just railroad him, batter you. But, no mean feat with those three rounds that he did have success with Kell Brook. So he's gone at the weights a bit more. But then I've got to say, I think Khan, divisionally, has fought the better guys. And, you may as well bring the records up, Chris. We'll have a little scroll through.
Because who do you want first?
This is why the fight hasn't happened and it's only happening now. I think go with Khan. Go with Khan and then we'll go into Kell Brook. Please, Chris.
Okay, this is Khan's...
Yeah.
As you can see there, how far do you want me to go down?
You can just scroll through. So yeah, here we go. Amir Khan, Chris Algieri, Samuel Vargas, who's been in and around, Conor Ben fought him. He fought Canelo as well, KO'd by Canelo. No surprise there.
Down here, Sal Alvarez, yeah.
Yeah, and then Devin Alexander, Luis Collazo. I've not been funny. Danny Garcia as well. Unanimous decision win for him there, but yeah, it's when you start looking through. Sorry, Danny Garcia was a TKO. Sorry, yeah, Lamont Peterson, that was questionable at the time. They said the judges screwed that one up. They felt he was the better fighter. So yeah, just I think from Sab Judah as well. You can't discredit him. A lot of big fights. Marcus Maidana, who did so well against Floyd Mayweather. It's quite the roll call. It's quite the roll call,
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, again, Terence Crawford, they both fought him. And then leading into next February, Chris, I think if we switch over to Kell Brook's record. So they both fought, pound for pound previous, currently if you look at that, he fought Canelo Kelbrook, which I forgot about. And then here we go with Cal Brooks. So yeah, it's Errol Spence Jr. You know, he's fought him. He's fought Terence Crawford. The best two at welterweight. There's no question. Yeah, waiting for I that one to be made. Gennady Golovkin. You know, no disgrace in that at all. Losing to him, that was just he was doing really well earlier on. Yeah, and you start looking through. Okay, he's fought Errol Spence. He's fought Terence, but I think Khan's had the.
They've got Sean Porter in there.
Yeah, he went into the USA to fight him. I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to win that, and he got a majority decision against him. So yeah, Carson Jones is a tricky one. They fought twice. I remember that. That was he had a tough night that night. You know, so yeah, you know, looking at the records and the way they've just gone off in different directions. And then
very similar as well, though.
Yeah, the fight wasn't made. I'm edging towards Amir Khan in this one.
Our favourite son has appeared in the chat, Stuart.
Let's have a look. Who cares about Khan? The match we all want to know about is Paul versus Fury. Tommy was lost for words when they spoke. Might as well let his dad fight.
I thought that the conference was quite funny.
Do you hear what Eddie Hearn said? He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed for Frank Warren. The language, the way it went, the way John Fury was. Eddie Hearn was just like, it was an absolute embarrassment. But
I don't think Tyson Fury looked like he was happy to be there, to be honest with you. But this is the circus and the rodeo that comes with Jake Paul. So you have a go with it or you're left speechless, really.
Absolutely. Brett, we will be leading into December 18th and we'll be giving it a bit more,
2 weeks time.
A bit of gloss. There'll be a bit of gloss. Chris wants to do a bit more of an in-depth look into the fight and everything and what's going on. So we will, in the coming weeks, we will be doing that. Chris was saying earlier on about that. Hope you both well. Yeah, I'm great. How are you feeling now, mate? Oh, congrats on the 100th.
Yeah. Stuart. Congrats on the 100 for Stuart.
It will be out. It will be out in full this week. It will be out in full this week. I've just got to send all the edits into Chris Dutton. At Brett Thomas, you know what I think? Tommy's last match was done deliberately to look crappy, so Jake would take the fight and think it's an easy one. I think the Furies have played this very well. We're gonna see on the 18th, aren't we? You know, it's there's no question. There's no question about it. But Chris,
Stuart, we did touch upon Fury and Jake Paul today, but when we were sorting out for today's show, guys, especially you, Brett, because you're going to like this. I said to Stuart about maybe having a longer show that me and Stuart spend on Jake Paul and Tommy Fury, and we look at it as a whole of everything. You know, Stuart knows the boxing side, a bit more of the social media side for myself, and me and Stuart are going to sort of break it down and do a longer sort of video on it. So, you know, I mean, keep all these questions you've got for that fight. If you don't like one guy or you like the other, or you like Brett and you like, you know, the Pauls, just keep all your questions for 2 weeks' time. I promise you, we will deliver on that.
Going back just before we close out with Khan and Brooke, because, you know, it's all, we know it's been set. We'll be giving that more coverage as it leads into February. Who wins between Khan and Brooke? What are your thoughts, the viewers and the listeners? Actually cheering for Khan to win against Canelo. Yeah. It was, like I say, they both fought. They both moved up weights as well, so you know you can give a case for both. I think Khan's going to win. I really do.
Yeah.
I just think Brooke. I know Khan's chin's been questionable for years, but he's fought. You know, they both fought guys. It's hard to say, but yeah. What do people think about that? And Chris, I think we can move on as well because we've got a huge night this Saturday coming up in the boxing. Our last preview of the boxing for this week. And it is the rematch, Lyndon Arthur taking on Anthony Yard. And Anthony Yard was a huge favourite in this. And the underdog at the time, Lyndon Arthur, came through, Chris, as you said, used the jab perfectly throughout. It was the jab that really helped him for all Yard's power in the first fight. I think now, I think that Lyndon Arthur's in the ascendancy in this one. Yard, the pressure is on Anthony Yard.
Is there anything that, like, after this fight, is there a title opportunity after this fight?
I'm trying to think now. There must be that. There's going to be title implications leading out of this one. The winner will get a world title fight. There's no question about that. I was watching, they had them together on BT Box Office on the online on YouTube. Carl Frampton, it was like a head-to-head. And it's about 25 minutes long. And I think Lyndon Arthur is right to be a bit arrogant with him. You know, he's basically saying, you know, you felt my power, Anthony Arderson, you felt my power and all the rest of it. But then I think Lyndon Arthur, it's do you think Anthony Arderson going to atone for the mistakes?
I mean, he's got to get around that jab of the Lyndon Arthur, hasn't he? He's got to get around that jab. He's got to have much better footwork and head movement, because if he goes with the same game plan as the first fight, he's just going to get stuck behind that jab and struggle again, because Arthur controlled him with that jab, that straight jab, down his throat. You know, every round, he was just in control, and Anthony Yard couldn't get through. I'd like to see if he's made any many changes to his sort of fight plan for this fight. You know, if he's made any significant changes for the fight, you know, Arthur might be in trouble, because Yard does hit hard. I'm not saying Arthur doesn't either, but Yard, I feel like, has got more of an explosive power than Lyndon Arthur has. So if he can get right past that jab of Lyndon Arthur's, it could cause some problems. But I feel like it's going to fall to type, and I think Lyndon Arthur's just going to stick that jab out, and Arthur's going to struggle.
Lyndon Arthur, you know, you're saying who could it be next? I'm just looking through all the rankings. So at WBO, Joe Smith Jr.'s champion, Lyndon Arthur is number one in the WBO rankings. And then going down, Anthony Yard's ninth in there for whatever reason. I'm not too sure why. And then at IBF, just seeing now, Arthur is ranked third with the IBF, and the belt's held by the great Artur Beterbiev. So yeah, Dan Terra Sports Inc. Hello, boys. Hello. But yeah, just going to graze over this again. I think Yard, it's going to be hard for Yard, Chris. But yeah, moving back to the comments. That bloody Jake Paul fight. I know. But we're all going to be up watching it. You know, rightly or wrongly, it's intrigued all this. The press conference last week. I'd like to see John Fury versus Jake Paul.
I said this to Alison after I watched it, and I said, I was like, I'd rather watch John Fury versus Jake Paul after that, personally. He's got another question here as he has rules.
I know you want to say Paul versus Tommy, but just one question, if you know. Jake stated he has made more money than Tyson Fury, the heavyweight champion this year. Is this in any way true, Chris?
Right, okay, right. Let's take everything, right? And this is the last question I'm going to comment on Jake Paul and Tommy Fury, because, like I said, I really want to save it for the week of the fight, so I mean, sure, it can really, you know, give you all the attention you need for the fight. Yeah, because you've got to look at, you know, he is a draw, but you've got to look at outside of just not just boxing, but what he does in the social medias, Instagrams, YouTube, all the other businesses that Jake Paul is in. He would have made more money than Tyson Fury, yes. Not for a boxing fight, no. Tyson Fury would have made more money in an actual boxing fight. But if you look at as a whole, Jake Paul would I think easily made more money than Tyson Fury in a whole year. If you put everything together, I'm not saying boxing for boxing, but I mean it's like a whole.
But, you know, it's socials. It's amazing. Also, yeah, you can watch this fight on BT Sport. It's not on box office. So Saturday night, huge, huge fight. The first fight was brilliant. I'm not discrediting Yard. He had his moments as well. He's got power. Arthur just came out of nowhere for me. I was thinking to myself, Yard's fought the better guys. Do you know what I mean? He fought Kovalev in Russia. He had some success before he got knocked out in Russia as well. You know, he doesn't get the credit. And, you know, there was a lot of hype at light heavyweight about Yard, but then Lyndon Arthur has come out of relative obscurity to then topple him. And the momentum, Chris, is still with Lyndon Arthur. We look forward to that on Saturday evening, looking much forward to that. Yeah, and definitely. Chris, we're going to... Oh, right, there's more comments. Yeah. Sorry. Brett, our good pal Brett. Jake Paul said it. That's why Tyson didn't want to say. Chris?
Very possibly, but you know, Tyson's maybe not looking at Jake Paul as what he does outside of the boxing ring. You know, if you're looking who makes more money in a fight, Tyson Fury obviously makes more money in a fight.
Chris, are we moving on to the UFC Fight Night co-main event with, well, he's been around the business. It's one of the biggest veterans of the sport, Clay Guida, although there's a 2-year age difference between the two. I did not think Leonardo Santos was 41, Chris. I had it in my mind he was going to be younger than Clay Guida. But both men coming off losses, Chris. A three-round decision loss to Mark Madsen for Clay. Mm-hmm. And then Grant Dawson KO'd Leonardo Santos in the last fight. How do you see this one going, Chris?
Well, we spoke about this, didn't we, off camera, and I said about, Leonardo Santos has been with the UFC since 2013 and only had 9 fights, has pulled out a lot of fights with injuries. He had a fight against Norman Park. I don't know if you remember it, but Norman Park was just fresh off the smashes, and, I was high on Norman Park. I saw him in UFC Manchester, was really good at the time. This went to a draw, which, it's quite a rare thing you see in the UFC, isn't a draw. But Leonardo Santos, to me, didn't look good at all. Awful. Norman Park, I felt like, in that fight, controlled it. But Leonardo Santos has a KO victory over Kevin Lee as well, Stuart.
Look at that gargantuan reach as well, Chris. I always come to you about the reach, and sometimes you're like, that won't make a difference. But that's a big, that's a significant, having that 5 inches of reach. We know Clay Guida likes it on the feet, though, as well. Can he get inside? But yeah, I'm looking at that. That's the standout thing for me there. I know it's not everything. I know reach isn't everything. You've got to, it's the whole fight, isn't it? And what they'll do and what they'll do stylistically. But yeah, that surely he can use that as much as, I love Clay Guida. He's one of my favourites of all time. Heart and the will. Do you think the reach should be a factor is what I'm going to say.
I don't know because Clay Guida is such an awkward guy to fight, and you've seen it over the years. And Michael Madsen, beat him a few months ago when we watched Clay Guida, but it was really awkward for Michael Madsen because he was predominantly a Greco wrestler, wasn't he? And yeah, he was struggling with his style with Clay Guida. Yes, he got the victory, but Clay Guida is so tricky and he's so unorthodox. And his head movement, and I always say about head movement, Stuart, as well as your foot movement, but his head movement is always off that center line. And Leonardo Santos has won a lot of fights with KOs and TKOs. But to catch Clay Guida, you've got to hit him with a good shot because his head is always back and forward. He's moving. He's got really good head movement, Clay Guida. I think Clay Guida gets this done. I'm not a big fan of Leonardo Santos. Look at the fights between them here, Stuart, in the
it's he's approaching 60. It's one of them, isn't it? I know he's had losses, but he's fought. We spoke prior. He's fought so many big guys, Clay Guida, over the years, guys in and around. And he's gone to different. He's gone down in weight as well. He's gone back into lightweight. He has mixed it up. That you like using the term gatekeeper sometimes, don't you? I don't see it with this one. If it was a younger fighter coming through, we'd be saying, right, this is a gatekeeping fight, isn't it? In terms of Clay. But maybe that 30 more fights that he's had, that veteran instinct, even though he's the younger guy, maybe that could come into play, the amount of experience he's got, Clay.
Possibly. I think that Clay's just got more about him. He just needs to let himself go a bit. You go back to that Mark Madsen fight, and he just didn't let things go, did he? He caught Madsen a few times, but as much as he's very tricky and he's always moving, Clay Guida doesn't pull the trigger nearly enough as I feel like he should. He could take Santos down and have a bit more joy there. Santos was very good on the ground, mind you, but Clay Guida is awkward on the ground as much as he is standing up. So I'm gonna go with Clay Guida because I'm not a big fan of Leonardo Santos.
Absolutely, and going back to Clay Guida, remember when he changed his style years ago, Chris? And remember, it was a lot of ground-based stuff, wasn't it? I prefer him standing. I know you've got to have everything. But he went back. He's gone back to the striking, as in more recent fights. He tried a lot of ground-based stuff, which I know that a lot of people said he shouldn't be doing that.
Whatever gets you the victory at the end of the day.
Yeah, if he can adapt, he'll adapt, won't he? But yeah, Chris, have we got any comments before we move on to the schedule? Here we are. Yeah, headlines up. UFC fights that are rumoured to be booked for 2022, Chris. So there's about 4 fights that you've listed here. So we're going to start off with Calvin Kattar versus Chikadze, Chris. Chikadze at featherweight. Announced, rumoured.
I think this is pretty much announced now. I think they're looking at March, I think, for this. I think it might be on the same card as another fight I put in here. Calvin Kattar obviously hasn't fought since the Max Holloway punched a hole in his head several times, more than a several, a couple of million times. This is a big test because Kankladze's just been on fire recently, hasn't he? And he's one you think that could dethrone Volkanovski, isn't he?
I'm going Chikadze in this one, Chris.
But you're high on Chikadze.
I am. I love him. I think, but Kate has fought people. I mean, you can remember more of the fights. I know, you know, he's had some big fights as well. But I just think Chikadze is a different level, and he's up in the ascendancy. A huge fight for him, you know, no question about that. But I think the Georgian will come through this one if we see it in March. That's what I'm thinking on that one.
Yeah, I think this is a type of implication sort of fight to it. Even though I don't think Calvin Cates should be thrusted in, but I think Calvin Cates is a good test for someone who's up and coming in and almost not on that level of a title shot. Obviously, we've got Volkanovski and Max Holloway free to get out of the way if that happens, unless Max decides to hold on to that shot and go up a weight. But I think he's going to go for Volkanovski and have that third fight. But I think the winner here gets probably the winner of that fight, which, you know, Volkanovski versus Chikadze, you know, you'd be dreaming about that one.
The featherweight war chest for one of these with a victory.
Yeah, and a tough fucking fight to go with it.
Absolutely. The man's a tank. The man's an absolute tank. But yeah, I think going back to Holloway and Volkanovski, it's got to be made, hasn't it, Chris? I know we've tinkered with the idea about Holloway going back into the 155 mix, but I think they've got to get that third fight ready, haven't they?
It's very much do or die for Max Holloway, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
He has to win this. And then, otherwise, you know, he's not going to be a champion even fight for the title for a very long time, unless Volkanovski, say, loses Chikadze, which, you know, possibly could happen. We don't know because we haven't seen Chikadze in that sort of pressure fight yet. So we'll see. We'll see.
Are we going to move on to Jared Cannonier and Derek Brunson? Yes, we are. Up at middleweight, Chris. Two big contenders in the division. Where are you thinking with this one? What would you predict so early on? Early prediction.
I think Cannonier's got power, man. I think, you know, against Robert Whittaker, I think he injured himself, didn't he? Struggled in that fight. But anyone struggling with Robert Whittaker because, you know, I mean, second best in division to Izzy. So, and obviously they're fighting, I think, in January or February as well for the title. Mm. I feel like this, again, is another fight that's going to be the next in line for the winner of Whittaker Adesanya. Derek Brunson's been fantastic. There's the people he's beaten. You know, Darren Till was the last person he beat in September, which was, I think, a shock. He might not probably agree with us here, Stuart, but, you know, Darren Till, I think, was Bookie's favourite to beat Derek Brunson. Obviously, Derek Brunson's fought Izzy and lost Izzy. Cannonier's lost to Whittaker, but obviously... So they both fought the challenger and the champion. It's a big fight. It's big implications for both fighters. Derek Brunson, you know, he's on the latest stage of his 30s now, isn't he? But on one hell of a run, he puts that blonde hair on and off he goes, isn't he? Just seems to win with that blonde hair.
I think he takes this one. I think, you know, not discrediting Jared Cannonier, Chris. Fantastic. I think Derek Brunson's just been chipping away, getting himself, you know, on the cusp of the title fight. I think out of the two, I'm going with Derek. I'm going with Derek in this one. That's my early prediction. But moving closer to that one, it might change.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll go with that then. And I'm going to throw you another curve here. Say Brunson beats Cannonier. Does he beat Whittaker or
I think it's just that's elite level middleweight when you put them two in there, and you know you can't discredit Robert Whittaker at all, you know what he's done. I think that is the next, them two are by far and away, you know, miles ahead, but then these two guys are world class as well in their own right, but elite standing. If we're going to categorize, Chris, I've got to say it's a big step, isn't it?
Would you put Vettori in the middle of them, though?
Vettori's, I got to be fair to the guy. He's looked fantastic as well. So yeah, I think I put Vettori in around, you know, the Brunson Cannonier area, but he could be problematic for Adesanya and Whittaker. The ground based style that he's got, he's made people wilt on the ground, as we've seen with Vettori. Yeah. Are we moving on to lightweight, Chris? So
this is announced. This is official.
What a fight this is going to be. I've heard that Khabib has commented on this. Says it would be a very close fight. You know, as much as you think he'd be saying Makhachev, he was very complimentary of how Dariush has been doing in more recent times, Chris. So yeah, huge fight this one as well at lightweight.
Again, Stuart, the third fight I've gone down here. I haven't actually picked these purposely because there's title implications for them. These seem to me like quite interesting fights. Again, this is another title implication fight. Dariush is fourth in the rankings. Makhachev is fifth in the rankings. So it makes sense that these two battle it out. I feel like Gaethje is going to get the next title shot. I feel that is probably where it's going to go. You can't really argue with that because him and Michael Chandler put on a fucking war when they fought. Makhachev looked good against Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker now, Stuart, has dropped down to 145 since that fight.
But what you've not to make it about Dan Hooker, because we're obviously talking about these two guys, is that the right option for Dan Hooker? You think he's lost to too many of the top guys at 155 now?
I think he needs to sort of reboot himself, hasn't he? And I think it makes sense going down to 145.
He's a fantastic fighter. He's fought the best guys at lightweight. There's no, that's not a bad thing, him going down to 145 then.
And a big guy for that division as well, don't forget.
Yeah, he could be problematic in there for many guys, no question. But yeah, moving back to these two, I would say Makhachev favourite, fourth versus fifth, as you say. But Dariush, what could Dariush bring to the fight to get the victory, if at all possible? Because Makhachev has looked elite. He's looked elite on the way to elite for me.
Of course, I think he's on a 9-fight win streak, is Makhachev. But, you know, this is probably the first, I don't want to dismiss Dan Hooker, but this is the first real test of Makhachev, because Dariush, as you just said, brilliantly said, he's been fantastic in his fights. You know, Tony Ferguson, he did that fight against Tony Ferguson, put him on the minds of people, because Tony Ferguson, yes, okay, he's fallen down a bit, but Tony Ferguson's one tough cookie, and he beat Tony Ferguson throughout every round, almost submitted him, but Tony Ferguson's just a pain in the arse when it comes to people like that, just won't tap. I think for Dariush, he's got to stick to his own fight style. Don't be scared to take Makhachev down. What do we know if Makhachev's, what's he like on his back? Why not challenge that? Don't be afraid to grapple just because Makhachev, you know, he comes from, you know, the sort of the Russian standard of wrestling, which, you know, I believe is probably better than American standard wrestling at this point in time. Go and be your cyber fighter. You know what I mean? Don't be panicking if Makhachev's trying to take you down. You know what I mean? Dariush is fantastic with his jiu-jitsu and his grappling side of things. Give it back to him. Maybe he should shoot on Makhachev first. Let's test Makhachev off the ground and see, you know, how good he is. Because we never saw what Khabib was like on his ground. I think he got taken down once or twice in his whole entire UFC career, Khabib, but he shot right back up. We don't know what Makhachev's like. So if I'm Dariush, I'm like, well, okay, I could stand and trade with him. But you can see that Makhachev isn't going to stand and trade with you. He's going to want to take you down. He's going to want to smash you up. He wants to go for that submission. So why not you be the aggressor and you go try and take down Makhachev and you test Makhachev and let's see what he's like, what he's capable of doing off his back.
We look forward to that one. A huge fight at lightweight. And then, Chris, Jan Blachowicz versus Alexander Rakic in the works for early next year, Chris. So, yes, your thoughts primarily on this one.
March 29th, I'm hearing possibly. This is fight, I think Catering and Gigi are fighting on that card as well, possibly. Mm-hmm. This is a good fight. Rakic has looked phenomenal. You've seen him against Santos. You've seen him. I think the guy's name's come off my head now. I'll get back to it. It'll come back to me. But Rakic looked phenomenal against Thiago Santos. Yes, okay, it was quite bore, but his style is awkward. And Stuart, we talk about Aldo having dirty kicks. Rakic, I think, is probably one of the worst kicks, you know, you can take from a guy in UFC. Jan Blachowicz, on this case, obviously needs to be better because he wasn't very good, whatever the situation was against Glover Teixeira. And obviously wants to get that title shot back. Wants to get the title back, doesn't he? But this is quite tailor-made for Jan Blachowicz and Rakic sort of thing. They're both kickboxers. And I think Blachowicz is quite good at sort of blocking and checking leg kicks. And he's very good at it. Not just good, he's very good at it. So this could work in Jan Blachowicz's sort of favour. Or we could just see Rakic blow him out of the water and think, you know, this guy's the next in line.
Lots of implications there on both sides of that one. Yeah, I look forward to that one as well, Chris. So, yeah, as far ahead as March, the plans for the UFC, you know, bouts, it's that they're getting right ahead, aren't they, Chris? You know, whether they've been confirmed or rumoured, looking very, very far ahead. Have we got any comments? Yes, we have. Are you both looking forward to Xmas, Chris? I'll let you answer that first.
You know what? Yeah, I've got 4 days off. You know, I can't complain. I'm looking forward to the kids opening their presents on Christmas as well as the dogs, actually. It is what it is in my family, isn't it? Yeah, 4 days off. I can have a few beers. I'm not having Christmas dinner this year for the second year in a row, Stuart. I'm having a bit classy here. I'm having a lobster and steak.
It's very nice. Very nice. Surf, yes. And surf.
Don't treat surf myself.
And surf and turf, the elite food for Christmas for Chris and the family. Myself, I'm working, but I got Boxing Day off. I do like 8-4 on Christmas Day, so I'll be home. Well, not home, I'll be at my sister's. So yeah, that's what's going on there. And then leading into the new year, just working really. But yeah, a few days off here and there to do stuff, you know. So yeah, Brett, what are you doing for Christmas before we go as well? That'd be nice. And Chris, just leading into the next couple of weeks, afternoon boy. All right, Brady.
Mr. Barlow.
Long time friend, Brady Barlow. How are you, mate? Good to see you watching us a bit earlier today than normal. So, yeah, good to have you on, mate.
Good to have you on.
Hope you're well, mate. And then, yeah, good Xmas song. Jake Paul, 12 Days at Christmas. If you like your music, you will enjoy it. The music video is on YouTube. Brett, no disrespect, I'll pass on that. I think Chris is shaking his head. No. That tells you everything you need to know.
No. Listen, Brett, I'll sort of semi-support you when it comes to the boxing with Jake, yeah, but I'm not listening to his music. It's like you asking me to listen to Logan Paul's music. Just no.
And Chris, are there any more comments?
Yeah, the floating fruit.
Here we go. Lobster and steak. Great call. There you go, Chris. Brett likes that. Brett's happy with that one. That's it. Yeah. No, nothing wrong with that. Enjoy it. Enjoy the food. All good, boys. Not a chance to watch you for a few weeks. Yeah, no problem, mate. It's life, isn't it? Sometimes it just gets in the way. Yeah, you know, everyone's busy doing. And there's so much stuff at your fingertips these days. It's hard. It's hard to, you know, prioritise stuff.
Brady, you don't have to always watch us live. We're everywhere these days. You can always pick us up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. You can find us anywhere. Facebook, you can find us anywhere. You don't have to watch us live all the time. I know you love to see our beautiful faces, and it's okay.
Yes. So I've just put in my notes here before we close out, Chris. We have got some big, big fights coming up. We've got the world, you know, lightweight title fight between Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier coming up next weekend. We will give that the huge preview next week that it deserves. Huge, huge fight. I know Khabib's come out. He's going for Poirier in this one. He said cardio. But there again, Oliveira's on a huge win streak himself, isn't he, Chris?
Let me just pull this card up and then we can just have a quick rundown. Okay, here you go. So obviously it's Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier for the lightweight title, Stuart. We have the Mega Mastodon and Amanda Nunes versus Julia Pena. We have
only going one way, that
Kobe Garbrandt versus Kaya France in his flyweight debut. Now, pictures of Kobe Garbrandt looks a bit worrying for me, to be honest with you, Stuart. You'll find that on
too much of a cut,
besides that, obviously we lost Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal. Obviously, they're both going their separate ways now, obviously, because the rumours are, Stuart, we spoke about this last week, is Edwards is getting his title shot against Usman, and I think Kobe Covington and Masvidal are going to fall into Ultimate Fighter, which desperately needs that type of sort of animosity, doesn't it, for the show. Other than that, we've got Dominic Cruz is on the card, Stuart, against Pedro Munhoz.
Solid across the board. And I think, Chris, if we want to move on, December the 11th, so obviously next weekend, we've got Katie Taylor defending all her gold against Sharapova of Kazakhstan, Kazakhstani fighter. That's only going one way, I'm afraid. Katie Taylor will cement her course absolutely in there. And then Conor Benn versus Chris Algieri, a huge test for Conor Benn. He's starting to get himself up in the rankings. Algieri's fought, you know, he's fought Pacquiao, he's fought Amir Khan. No easy feat. A lot of people saying, why have they made this fight? But no, you know, it's a good litmus test for Conor Benn as he's trying to get at the rankings into world title contention. And then December the 18th, Chris, the one that is turning heads now. You know, celebrity boxing fans have been all over it. We know Brett's been all over this. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. I've got to get up and watch it now, Chris, with all the hoopla that's been going on with the conferences and stuff like leading into
I may do a live that night, Stuart. I may do one.
I can see you doing that, absolutely. And then earlier that night, it's Chisora versus Parker 2 as well.
Interesting.
On Matchroom DAZN. A lot of people felt Chisora beat him in the first fight. The judges saw it differently. Parker got through. I think Chisora did enough to win that first fight. I really do. So
we covered that, didn't we? So yeah,
he deserves his rematch. So yeah, that's a bit of scheduling for the next couple of weeks with MMA and boxing. It's great. Give it a try. Brett, have you got like Jake Paul and Logan Paul Christmas baubles for the tree this year?
Have you got a calendar as well? Actually, I want to know. You know, Brett, if you want a good Christmas song, have a bit of Shaky Stevens. That'll sort you out. Sort you right out.
I always thought Shaking Stevens, it was Cliff Richard that sang that song, by the way. You know, for years and years, like being a kid and that. I thought it was Cliff Richard. Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah, I never thought it was Shaking Stevens. A fellow Welshman as well, Shaking Stevens. Through your window.
Well, Brady, unless you've got a fucking ladder, mate, you ain't looking through my window.
So, have we got any more comments, Chris, before we close out? Oh, we have. Big fights coming up. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. Absolutely, Brett. Yep. You're going to be all over that. So only a few weeks away now. It's nearly there. Down to a sports thing. I watched Lennox Lewis' documentary on Sky Box Sets last week after we speaking about him. He was bloody good. I know he lost twice, but he was beating some big names. Got to be the best of the 90s. I've watched the same documentary. Amazing. Sky documentary is really good. I agree with you, Dan. And he avenged defeats as well along the way.
He fought the who's who in the 90s, Stuart.
There's also Mike Tyson, you know, one man stage show.
Mm.
And Spike Lee produced it. That's on Sky Documentaries as well. So it's like he's at a theatre in America, probably New York somewhere.
Oh, like Mike Tyson did, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was bloody brilliant. No, it was Mike Tyson. It was Mike Tyson. He was on
Netflix not long ago.
Yeah, I think they might have it as well. Imagine Lewis versus Tyson Fury. Yeah,
brilliant fight. I'd love to see it. Hell of a fight.
Absolutely.
I think you have to go on a fight night for that, wouldn't you? Have to sort of do it on the console.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake Paul's probably his fairy on top of the tree. There you go, Brett. He says you got fairy up there. I haven't, but all my friends have Logan, Jake Paul, Xmas cards sent to them. Oh, fair enough. You stick to your guns, don't you? They're the Christmas cards they're having this year, Brett. That's cool. It's on Prime Video tonight as well, if you want to get it on there. And obviously you can get it in other places. Congrats on the 100th, Stu. Yeah, nearly out. I think it's going to be this weekend. I've just put a little teaser clip out with myself and Brian Solomon. So,
why don't you just put it out tonight so I don't have to watch the game?
Well... Could do.
You can get just send it to me for free, and then add to everyone else can wait.
Chris, where can the viewers and the listeners find you before we shoot off?
Well, obviously, as always, Stuart. In the description below, you can find me and Stuart on Facebook. You can see it going along the bottom of your screen here. In the description on YouTube, on Facebook, you can find us on Apple and Spotify. You can find us on Facebook as well, because we're always going to be live on Facebook as well as YouTube. You can find me on Twitter itself, at Van Hume. You can find me on Instagram, at VanHume86. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Absolutely. Powered 4 TV as well. You can subscribe. I'm not sure if it's still 50%. I could do with John Tone, really. But yeah.
I know, Cyber Monday, that wasn't it?
Yeah. If it's not, it's $7.99 for the year. But I know there was 40 or 50% off as well. So have a look. More promotions coming on board. It really is the Netflix of wrestling now when you see how many promotions John and Rich have got on board. Fantastic stuff. So yeah, powered4.tv for that. Also, thank you for putting me at the top of the media, John and Rich as well. The media
bit. So
all the podcasts, all my stuff's at the top, I think, still. So that's nice because there's some really good shows on there, other podcasts as well. And Stu's Wrestling Podcast, 100th episode coming out very, very soon, hopefully this week, with Brian R. Solomon. So, yeah, he's writing for PWI. He's writing for Inside the Ropes magazine. His autobiography on the original Sheik, Ed Farrat, will be out soon as well, February. That was in the bestsellers for pre-orders on Amazon. Guys, if you need ideas for Xmas stuff, Jake Paul has great gym wear. You're all right, mate. I'm not a gym goer.
Well, he's still going.
I've got the latest, Jake. 0.1 limited gym.
I don't have a beer in hand, though, Brett, but that's my gym. a can of beer.
Yeah.
I'm at my gym there, mate.
And we will see you next week for episode 42 of Powerful.tv Big Fight Weekly. It will be next Friday. So week on Friday. I think we'll update that as we're going through, because some people are like, oh, I don't know which day you're on. We do. You know, change. We do change the day. So, yeah, it will be a week on Friday for episode 42. And we'll be previewing. We'll be analysing. There's so much coming up now in December. And we look forward to seeing you. There you go. Yeah, there's the code. Grapple for one. Okay, for 1 month free. Right, Grapple for 1 month free on powered4.tv. So if you love your wrestling, you love your content, you love your media, please, please, please go for it. Absolutely fantastic. Cheers for that, John. Cheers. Nice one. And we will see you next Friday for episode 42.
See you next Friday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.